And first up on Sunday Extra today, we cross live to Caracas, the capital of Venezuela, in the wake of the latest escalation in American posturing towards that country. Overnight, President Trump posted on Truth Social, "To all airlines, pilots, drug dealers and human traffickers, please consider," then the all caps begin, "the airspace above and surrounding Venezuela to be closed in its entirety." On Thursday US time, Trump said America could very soon expand from attacks on boats alleged to be carrying drugs in the waters off Venezuela to targets inside Venezuela. Those US boat strikes have killed more than 80 people since early September, according to the New York Times. At the same time, President Trump also had a phone call with Venezuelan ruler Nicolas Maduro last week. Phil Gunson is a senior analyst with the International Crisis Group. He's based in Caracas and he joins us now on Sunday Extra. Thanks for speaking with us, Phil.
You're very welcome.
Could you give us your assessment of reactions within Venezuela to President Trump's airspace announcement and the broader ramping up of US pressure in recent months?
Yeah, well, it's late evening, or rather late afternoon, I should say, in Caracas at the moment. All is quiet. The government has reacted to what Trump had to say by rejecting it, obviously, rejecting the unilateral declaration of what amounts to a no-fly zone over Venezuela, and saying that migrant flights, that's to say the flights that have been bringing deported Venezuelan migrants back to Venezuela in recent months, that those are effectively suspended because, of course, if the airspace is closed, then the flights can't come in. That's been the main reaction. It looks, from where I'm sitting, to be yet another attempt by Trump to escalate to the point where supposedly Maduro would conclude that now is the time to leave, or the army would overthrow him. But so far, none of these attempts have actually worked. So we'll have to see whether it works, and also, of course, whether Trump follows through in the sense of actually going ahead and bombing something within Venezuela.
Is it possible to get a read on what you would describe as public opinion within Venezuela, given the repressive political conditions there?
Well, it's very difficult, of course, because although there are opinion polls being carried out in Venezuela, the polling companies are not publishing for fear of reprisals. So we're kind of working in the dark. I mean, the sense I have is that obviously there's a range of opinions. I mean, some people are anxious for the US to go ahead and depose Maduro, and they're frustrated that it hasn't happened so far. Others, of course, are very wary, not just those who support the government, but many opponents of Maduro, in fact, are opposed to the idea because they fear that might usher in a period of violent chaos.
In a recent New York Times opinion piece, you described the Trump administration's actions, which of course have included a military buildup in the waters off Venezuela, as nevertheless a kind of phony war, one that doesn't require American boots on Venezuelan soil. Troops on the ground is one thing, but do you think that attacks inside Venezuela are now more likely in light of President Trump's sort of unilateral declaration of a no-fly zone?
I think, obviously, the more this goes on and the more rhetoric we see, the more it's clear that what the Trump administration is looking for is, you know, the departure of Maduro, the collapse of his government, then it becomes harder and harder for the US simply to order the fleet to sail away without doing anything. Whether that would actually accomplish anything, of course, is another matter. But I think it's obvious that we can't rule out some form of ground attacks. Again, the difficulty is to know what they would do. I think the first thing they would have to do would be to take out Venezuelan air defenses, because perhaps the biggest worry from the point of view of US military planners is the possibility that, particularly if they use aircraft, of course, that these aircraft might get shot down. And even with a missile attack, that Venezuela has what appear to be reasonably effective Russian-supplied anti-aircraft and anti-missile defenses.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Phil Gunson, senior analyst at the International Crisis Group, who's in the capital of Venezuela, Caracas. And Phil, you referred earlier to the response of opposition groups within Venezuela to what's been happening. I wonder if you could flesh that out for us a little bit more. And I suppose also describe for us the state of the opposition movement within Venezuela today?
Yeah, well, the first thing to note is that in July of 2024, there was a presidential election which the opposition won. And in fact, they were able to show that they had won using the vote tallies produced by the official voting machines. But Maduro refused to accept that result. The government declared that the National Electoral Council's website had been hacked and it was impossible to produce a detailed breakdown. But in effect, everybody knows that the opposition won. Of course, after that, the problem started because the government cracked down. It's been impossible, really, for the opposition to effectively protest against what happened. The opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado, is in hiding, has been in hiding since that election. The opposition has historically, I mean, over the last 25 years since the Chavista government, first Chavista government under Hugo Chavez came to power, the opposition has been divided between hardliners and moderates. It's the hardliners right now who are in charge, and they're delighted with what Trump is doing. This is what they've wanted all along. They feel that it's impossible to defeat Maduro from inside Venezuela. They need external military support. The moderates are in a minority right now in terms of in terms of public opinion, as far as one can tell. But they're very wary of this. They would rather see for some form of negotiations leading to a gradual transition.
You mentioned that the opposition won the presidential election on, I suppose, informal declarations, but the candidate who ran in that election is now in exile. Despite that performance in the most recent election, you argued in Foreign Affairs magazine that the assumption that forcefully overthrowing the current government will lead to a smooth transition to democracy is dangerous. Beyond the disagreements within the opposition that you've just referred to, what specific factors in Venezuela led you to say that?
Well, for one thing, if the idea is to cause the Maduro government to collapse, then it's not clear who would maintain internal security, you know, after the collapse of the government. Because if you're going to rely on the Venezuelan armed forces that you've been calling a narco-terrorist cartel for the last few months, and who, at least in some measure, are going to be supportive of the outgoing government and very reluctant, certainly, to put in power Maria Corina Machado, who's a hardliner, who's promised to put many of them in jail, then you have to think who else is going to do it. And it appears that the United States is not willing to do that. It would take, this is a country, just for some context, this is a country which is twice the size of Iraq, with quite complicated topography, plenty of places for insurgents to hide. And it's also fairly well supplied with non-state armed groups, including thousands of Colombian guerrillas who are formally committed to the defense of the Maduro government and would no doubt, go into a kind of resistance mode. These are guerrillas that the Colombian government hasn't been able to defeat in over 60 years. So, you know, the security situation from that point on, the idea that you're going to be able to somehow just slot in a new government leadership and everybody will salute them, I think is rather naive. And it's not clear to me at all who's going to control the internal security situation if the government collapses.
So the armed guerrilla groups that you referred to are nevertheless supportive of the current regime, is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, the ELN, particularly the National Liberation Army of Colombia, these guerrillas who are in Venezuela in large numbers and making a lot of money in various illicit businesses, including gold, including drug trafficking, they're absolutely ideologically aligned with the Maduro government. Then there are various criminal groups who are unlikely to be willing to see a government installed that is committed to the restoration of the rule of law and to recuperating control, government control over Venezuelan territory. A lot of these groups control, you know, parts of cities or parts of the rural hinterland. And again, they're making lots of money and they're well armed and disinclined to accept a change of regime. Not necessarily because they like the Maduro government, because they benefit from it.
And just finally, Phil, given the escalation that's occurred to date, can you see a way out of that escalation, which I suppose is a definitive benefit for the people of Venezuela?
I think there is a way, but it requires President Trump to find a narrative that can extricate him from the situation that he's got in. I mean, he's going to need to somehow declare victory and wind down this military presence, which I don't think is going to achieve anything positive for Venezuela. He might, for example, say, well, we dealt with the drug trafficking problem in the Southern Caribbean. That's fine. We can now proceed to negotiate other things with the Maduro government. I think on the whole, it's quite possible to conceive of an agreement between Maduro and Trump, a very pragmatic deal on access to energy resources, on controlling drug trafficking, on the Chinese presence, for example. Of course, that wouldn't necessarily involve any kind of restoration of democracy and improvements in human rights for the Venezuelan people.
I think one thing we can be confident will occur is that President Trump will declare some sort of victory, whatever eventuates. But Phil, it's been fascinating dissecting the situation with you. Thanks very much for joining us this morning on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's Phil Gunson, senior analyst with the International Crisis Group, and he's based in Caracas, Venezuela, on Sunday Extra. It's 23 minutes past 7.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.